So, maybe talk about that a little bit tonight. You know, that sort of X marks the spot. And it's the same as when you work with the plant medicine. And this medicine, and I've said it before, is it shows you, it takes you where you have been taken. So where are you, continually being taken? And that's kind of the basis of sometimes feeling like a fool and being angry, is because we feel like somebody's fooled us. Someone's taken us for a ride, but it's only us who's done it to ourselves. So that celestial cross that we recently went through. Oh, just watch your sound there. It's quite loud, whatever's happening. Hello? Are we there?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, just with the sound, just be careful with the moving around and stuff. It's very loud. So we know. But yeah. So, Casey, you started talking a bit about that, about where you were taken. Why don't you carry on a little bit and we'll take a little time with that.
Well, I felt like I was taken out of my rhythm, my cycle that I have known, and also, I guess it takes you where you have been taken. I was just repeating that what you just said. So yeah, I just felt like out of my body, out of, well, I was in touch with my body because I knew it was out of touch. And like it just like the yeah I witnessed the lunar eclipse, and then after that it felt like I was not ovulating. I was like a chance maybe to go deeper in touch with my body because everything just stopped. It was like a halt. That's how it felt, but yet nothing stopped because everything was still going. But it was just like it almost felt like my some of my organs had just like been put on hold.
Well, and it's interesting the way you talked about it as being out of your body, yet in your body. And it seemed a lot that way, that where it took us just seemed kind of extreme, yet brought you right back to the core of your being. And it's just such amazing beauty in that, and being able to withstand it. And I think the last lesson, the last two, we talk about the that intensity of the spiritual experience that is usually only reserved for death and birth. And we are now experiencing it more and more just on a regular basis. So we can come to the place of understanding that there isn't really any death. Yes, there will always be physical death, but it's not, that's all there is. In a way now, it's same. We're flipping it over. Like it was always that physical death was the greatest fear. And all of a sudden you can start to see, oh yeah, it's just physical death. No big deal. Because there's no actual death. There's no reality of death. Death is, you could say, an illusion, yet it's not, right? Because it is real. You do disappear as you know yourself. But that is also this work, is continually disappearing as you know yourself. So whether in the physical or not, it becomes quite irregardless, quite another word for that, not quite redundant, physical death. And in a way it is. It is by no means the big end. So how was the cross for you, Bonnie Jean? Would you like to say anything
For
about that?
me, busy week with
Busy.
I was gonna say I had been. I have three visitors, two from the East Coast and one from interior BC staying with me. I haven't been able to do anything focused or for me in the last like 6 days.
And how is that for you? Because it's not necessarily about focusing on you. I mean, for some people, it can be about being in your body, but it is everything that occurs. So It can be very much about how am I relating to other people being in my space, for instance.
Jonathan, this is the first time that I actually felt totally comfortable. Usually I'm like stressed out and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. It's been nice to be able to host, and especially the people from the East Coast, because whenever I'm home, I always have a very difficult time in Cape Breton. So it's nice to kind of feel more in my element here and to show them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely some people had more intense experiences than others. And within there, within all of our experience, you're going to start beginning to notice enlightenment. And like most things, it's not a continuum. It's part of a continuum that is expressed many, many, many ways. And so just noticing those times when you can call them like a juvenile, so to speak, enlightenment experience is the aha moment. and it's funny to say juvenile is in like juvenile salmon, I think of. Not necessarily adolescent, but a sort of beginner level of adult enlightenment. And then they start to come a little bit more like not so big bang, so to speak, but more like, wow, I recovered from that really quickly. I saw myself go into it. I lost myself in it, which is that kind of out-of-body experience, like you're just, whoa, over the top. And then you came back. And it's kind of like the triangle, in a way, which is the building block of happiness. So you kind of start in the middle on the bottom, and you kind of go over to the left, and then you go way up to the top, and then you come back down to the right, and then back into the center of the bottom line. And so it goes, you know, so it continues that way. Building awareness, building realization. And, you know, where it used to be like a snail's pace going around that triangle, now it's maybe not quite the hare, you know, but a tortoise, maybe a little faster, right? I just saw a thing the other day of a snail on top of a tortoise. And the snail was saying, like, whoa, just slow down, you're going way too fast. So definitely we're at tortoise level, you know, most of us. And you know, you wouldn't want to be rushing around it, because then you would be able to savor it. It'd be just like having fast food. So, this is called Mother Earth. It is known as Turtle Island. And, you know, perhaps that is exactly the right speed to be experiencing everything, just enough time in it to really be engulfed in it, but not totally overwhelmed, just a deepening, you know, a deepening of the gloom, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, a fear, or, and then moving out of that and into something else and then into something else. But every time, long enough to really feel it. But never time enough to get depressed, or never time enough to become psychotic. You know, like it just seems like the fibrillation, you know, the heartbeat of the planet is coming through. And this is spoken by many people. And it has its own rhythm. And, you know, adapt or die. Basically, we are having to come into this triune beat. So, just noticing that in yourselves, when that enlightenment comes in, and then it's actually like enlightenment is really the whole thing, because you're so aware. You're aware of everything, except for that part, really, when you're in the top of the triangle, and you're just like, wah. And for a moment, you forgot about enlightenment, you know, or for a day or two or something. Mm-hmm. And that makes it all the juicier when you step back into it. It's just, so it's just so beautifully balanced right now to be able to have that and keep working with it. And again, it builds responsibility. It's like enlightenment and responsibility, also kind of, in a way, they are like the two bottom corners of the triangle, you could even say. And the sort of extreme experience is the one at the top. But when you go to the top and you come back down to the right side, you're like, wow, I feel more responsible. I really got that. I'm responsible for my own emotions at the very least. And then you kind of start walking the turtle over towards enlightenment, going, wow, did you see that? Did you see what I did? Wow. I went into it and I came out and I got it and I understood it.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's like expanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not really changing, so to speak, right? Like you don't know, you're not like visually expanding or anything, but it's just expanding your awareness. Which is sort of an oxymoron or something, because there's nothing to expand, but you're being in it. Yeah, just being in it more and more.
Oh, we were talking about like a bit of sabotage, like so that the levels of joy are and experience, and like you say, the death and then the rebirth is coming, and then sometimes I take myself down so as not to expand to even more joy. And we were just talking about that. So it's like expanding consciousness, not actually expanding, but just opening for more and allowing more to come, even though it feels like there might be a ceiling on it, or I start to doubt or something, like those kind of things creep in.
Well, they are all the next step. See, this is also, this is what responsibility really is too, is the ability to respond to whatever comes up. So may all beings be happy, come what may. Happy is the base of all life. I call it sort of the acidic base, and experience is the alkaline. So they work together all the time. And it's funny because so many people have these, oh, I'm too acidic and I'm too alkaline, and they go back and forth in their food choices. But it's more about being in those two other areas of happiness and experience. So happiness is the acidic base. You have too much happiness in a certain sense of, like you said, like if you stay in joy too long, joy has an 18-second charge. Mm. That's it. Actually, and it was Gabor Mate who said that. And he didn't say it in a psychological or whatever clinical way. He said it after a ceremony. it came to him.
Did you say 18 minutes or 18 seconds?
Sorry, the seconds, 18 seconds. Yeah. And so, okay. I heard that and I went, yeah, that's totally it. And if you try and suck on it, so to speak, any longer, it'll rot. And, everything is so beautifully ordained anyways that something else will come in, so that it doesn't really happen. See, everything is just flowing, like right now still the pollen is all over the place. And we talk about dust a lot. In Inkling's Weave, there's a chapter called The Innocence of Dust. And dust just lands where it does. As do all these different experiences that are there for us. Yeah. Funny interference going on there. But, just being able to take everything. So when you're in the joy and you're enjoying the joy in the moment, and then something else comes up, it's learning how to find the happiness, in, so to speak, in all of it. And so you're continually, there you go, balancing. You're continually like acidic, alkaline balancing. Because happiness actually is not an emotion. It is a part of a recipe. So just becoming, beginning to understand this more and more, everything is everything. And one thing just continually flows into the other, like a raindrop turns to the ocean, and then it evaporates and goes back into a cloud, or it goes into a stream, or it, you know, blah blah blah, right? Gets drank by a swan, or go ahead.
I was just going to say, will we get to a point where that it's a continual kind of mindset that we have? Because I find sometimes it comes in, like, I'll be thinking, like, I'll feel like that, and then, I don't know, I go back to, you know what I mean?
And
will
then
there be a time when I just, I'm always able to see that?
Well, you see, it's a bit of a catch-22. Yes, you will be able to see it more or less in hindsight, but when you're in it, you'll have forgotten. It's very tricky. Memory is an interesting thing.
Right.
So when you're in a funk or a dark place, you will be so in it. Of course, you have to be. I mean, I was in a place last night. I was a bit upset and crying, and I'm away from my son, and I was really missing him. And so it was. I was missing him, and that was the response. I was crying and feeling the
right, there. Right.
And then this morning woke up and there was other things. And so, you know, sometimes in the moment, but this is the thing, you want to let yourself have the moment, because the moment is also where eternity lives. If you're not in the moment, the past will become the future. And so there is a willingness always to just be with what is. I'm feeling very lonely today. Or I'm feeling, you know, we tend to get sort of tripped up on the negative, so to speak. But as we've also talked about, is the negative that holds the greatest charge for experience and growth. If you're always in your comfort zone, you're not going to be growing. And we're here to grow.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of sticking around there.
Well, to some extent, because you have a young one, yeah? So you always have to monitor also those aspects. So just you know, consider that for yourself. But also it's important with the young ones to show them how to feel. So much of our upbringing has been
right.
Stuff it down. Oh, it's okay. Don't cry. We'll make it all better. Don't cry. And then it kind of flipped over to, you know, the NBC kind of like, tell me what you're feeling. And a three-year-old doesn't know. So, you know, it's finding the middle ground there, right? Not trying to apply adult psychology to little children. Yet, you know, just acknowledging, okay, you hurt your elbow and you're crying. I can see that. I can see you're crying because you hurt your elbow. You know, just as simple as that. And also let them see you. Let them see you not freaking out, because you probably won't be freaking out anymore. You see, when you get the hang of this, what will occur is you won't be freaking out anymore. You will be more calm overall and grounded and be able to just take whatever comes. And in that, of course, in the paradox that is everything, you are flying. You're coasting, you know? You're just cruising. There's no more big stumbling blocks. It's just what it is. So even when you notice, I'm in my comfort zone. I'm in my comfort zone, and I'm doing that in my comfort zone thing. And, you know, also trusting that the universe is feeding you just what you need. When we cling to anything, if you're clinging to being in your comfort zone, and you will know when it's coming from you or the universe. That's the other thing that enlightenment and experience teach you. Are you trying to steer the river, or is this just where the river's going into a period of comfort for a year to allow you to adjust to being a parent, or, you know, whatever it is, right? And the grace in that, like, oh, thank you, like, universe, for giving me this time to be comfortable, knowing that will change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes we can feel limited by these thoughts, but also remember that limitation forms boundaries, and boundaries are what helps you grow, because your quest is always to meet that boundary. And then it will change. Like we talked about, the horizons, having to create a new horizon. So if you've reached your wall, it's time to create a new boundary, a new horizon. And that again is growing. That is continuing to walk as we do. So as we say, boundaries are your quest. They also give form to your existence. And then you meet them and it changes. So a boundary that doesn't change is a wall, is a limitation. But a boundary that does change is your quest. And it's funny because the people I did my vision quest with are called the School of Lost Borders. So the vision quest is losing the border and then creating a new one.
How long was that for your vision quest?
That's 4 nights and 5 days in the wilderness or the desert with no food or water.
Wow.
On your own. So that's like a traditional vision quest.
Whoa, on your own. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, you're all by yourself.
Right, yeah.
You've got your elders at base camp, but you don't go back until the 5th day. I don't know if there's an emergency or something, but maybe it isn't. So yeah, just being with that simplicity of how life actually expresses itself. Now we're using the word life. Earlier we were saying experience or enlightenment, and you know, again, they have boundaries. Each of the words, they are what they are, but they also play together well, kind of like children on a playground playing well. And yet, each is a very existence is different from life. And it is in the process of becoming, of coming inside of us, so that it can experience life. Existence on the outside doesn't experience life. So it's like taking the void inside and showing it a good time, I like to say. And a lot of this is outlined in the kind of the upcoming lessons of what these things are, and giving them definition, which is boundaries. And of course, we will continue to explore those boundaries, and they will change too. So what I'm saying, everything you're reading here, you know, one of the beautiful things one of my elders says is, but don't take my word for it. So nothing you read in this course, nothing even, you know, anybody else says, whatever, don't take anybody's word for it. The words have value, but they must be experienced. And that is also, don't take my word for it, is kind of like a dare. I dare you to walk up to the boundary of those words and see what's on the other side. Because that's what we do for each other. So I give you some words, and as an initiate, as an adult, your job is to walk up to them and see what's behind them. Just as what's said in the Torah. You know, the Torah says what is the meaning of words are hidden behind them, and it is the job of the initiate to look for them there, to go beyond the words, deeper and deeper, and just keep walking. That's such, like, what a beautiful purpose we have, and that's basically our purpose. I mean, most of the big purpose people are looking for in their lives is not personal. Just do whatever needs to be done, and not clinging to I am a this, I am a that. Letting whatever comes to you come. And it's a very interesting procedure. I'm going through it myself. I mean, I'm known as a shaman. I'm leading this rites of passage. I also work as a house cleaner. You know, I also clean toilets for people. Like, it's I care for an elder, but I mean, like, yes, I have elders, teachers. I mean, this woman is a, you know, dementia patient, so I just sit and listen to her babble, and actually, she says amazing things. But you know, it's just not to get too stuck in it, and definitely, it can be challenging for the people around you. They say, "Oh, but I thought you were that, and I want you to be that." I think of what a wonderful world it would be when we definitely have good experience in certain areas. Obviously, you want to trust a shaman you work with, that they know what they're doing. You want to know that the plumber is doing a good job. You want to know that an electrician knows what they're doing, but that they can also cook you dinner or care for your children or whatever, right? So that we're not always relying on one kind of people. You know, in fact, there's a bit of a phenomena that we make people be doctors and we make people be lawyers. That is, those two are such intense professions. To become a surgeon, I mean, you could be like psycho, you know, to go through what they go through. Why must we make people do that? So that we can trust them, you see? And yet then turn on them. And I mean, all kinds of different things happen. So as we evolve in this way I was speaking of with the triangle, you know, let's say where enlightenment and responsibility are in that triangle, maybe you have two things you're really good at, two things people can rely on you to do. And then you do whatever else falls in between. And in that example, the point, the upper point of the triangle is a new experience, a new thing to learn. And then the triangle might tilt. So whatever that thing on the top is, becomes one of your two specialties, and the other one kind of, you know, becomes disabled, as we talk about.
Right.
So you're enabling, oh, okay, I have a new skill now that I feel really confident that people can trust me to do well. But not get attached to them. Let them be with you as long as they are with you. And again, people have a hard time letting go. So they say, yes, but I've invested 12 years of my life to be a lawyer. You want me to just walk away from it? I don't want you to do anything. But it's a possibility. So we're really talking today about this sort of this triangle, as opposed to, because a circle doesn't work in this context, and that's why the world is made of triangles. The entire universe is made of tetrahedrons, which are triangles, all built on top of each other. Or at least we could say the fifth dimension, or the sixth dimension, I think it is, which is sacred geometry. But it's definitely a very, it's like the inside of the Oreo cookie, let's say. Because if there's 11 dimensions, the sixth is like the filling of the Oreo cookie, you know, kind of keeps it all together. So at the least, we might say that the tetrahedrons keep it all together. And they're offering themselves to us now. They're a very big part of initiation. There's a beautiful book by Elizabeth Haish, which I mentioned in the course as well, called Initiation, where she goes through back in Egyptian times, initiation. Sacred geometry is a huge part of it. The number 7 is a huge part of it. And, of course, the tetrahedrons. So, you know, just play with this a bit, this triangle, the triangle of life, even, they call it, when you're in an earthquake. The only thing that'll save you is the triangle of life. So we worked a little bit with the circles, and the circles have their purpose. So the same as, you know, there is existence, and there is life, and there is experience, and there is enlightenment. They all are like those shapes in the kaleidoscope. And the kaleidoscope has little triangles, it has little squares, it has little beads, And they just keep shifting and shifting and shifting and creating new patterns, new patterns, new patterns. But each of them is what they are. You know, a circle doesn't turn into a triangle. It stays a bead. We call it a circle. So everything knows what it is. And this is, you know, my work is to continue to help things to remember what they are through us, because we're the only way they can do that. And when everything comes back into right place, wow. That's why I would say if all the words have to leave, I hope wow can remain. Well, that just might be the way it works out. Because when everything finds its right place, it's like you don't have to call on it anymore. It just does what it does. Yeah. It's fun. Good. So, yeah, just enjoying yourself, right? And that's what enjoying yourself means, enjoying being, enjoy feeling lonely. Enjoy sadness, and that's in a, again, kind of paradox, and that, but that is what life is. You know, even the scientists now are saying everything is essentially paradoxical. So enjoying that paradox, enjoying the richness of it. It is this and it is that, the kingdom of yuck and the kingdom of yum, being the two borders of the middle path. And the Buddhists say, talk about it as fame and is it grace, I think it is. And then, like, fame and illumination are two sides. So they are of the same thing, but they can look two different ways. You know, people would say fame is yummy. And then there's praise and what would the other one be? So you don't praise somebody, you to lambaste them or whatever. But you know, illumination is not an easy thing. As we heard, enlightenment is quite devastating, quite destructive. But that is one thing we must learn, must, if there's that word again. In order to have movement, you must be able to change, and you must be willing to destroy. Just today, I saw there were some, two Canada geese with seven little babies, fresh little babies. And a fellow here where I am, there's a golf course. And he takes care of the golf course. And he was like, oh man, I hate those geese. They come and they shit on the golf course. I spend like 10% of my life taking care of this golf course. And then we thought, God, is he going to shoot them or something? But then he actually went and took pictures of them. He did shoot them with a camera. And then these eagles came. And I just sat and I thought, wow, they could get picked off by the eagles in a second. What would be the difference? Now, I'm not saying that it would be right to kill them for a golf course, but, you know, the essential basis of it, what nature is violent. Nature is ruthless. What animals do to animals, what the weather does, you know, what the ocean does. And everybody's like, oh, I'm a nature lover. And it's like, well, have you noticed what nature does recently? It does everything. Not only does it create, it changes and it destroys. So there again are your three points of the triangle. And I like to call this the I love view. Not I love you, but the I love, V-I-E-W. And if you make a triangle over your eye, you know, and look with one, yeah, it's the I love view. And you get it. You know, it's that eye in the triangle on top of the American dollar bill. Again, that's coming up later in the course. We're going to talk about money quite a bit. And yeah, just stepping into that. So today's work then is very much about the triangle of life, we could call it, interchangeable corners and layers upon itself, and creates this this glue of the universe with its great diversity. Great diversity. I think there's a game, right, where you have all these triangles. I can't remember what it's called. But each one, like, the amount of diversity it can create, so that, you know, if all the triangles have three different points and they're all quite different, the amount of diversity that comes with that is just massive. And sometimes they won't, like, you match them, right? Where here I put my piece down and one of my corners is experience, and you match your experience to my experience. And then they kind of have a little coagulation and grow from that another triangle. And so just try and visualize it. If you have any access to sacred geometry, you can find this kind of thing. Look up tetrahedron, look up how they work. Hello.
I think I'm hearing a lot of banging and like wind blowing.
Yes, and birds.
Do you hear that?
Yep. Yeah. It's very funny.
Oh, sorry guys, I'm inside right now.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Go. Oh wow.
This is hard. I have been making some notes and really appreciating, and the synchronicities have me smiling, really. The Oreo, the minute you said Oreo, we had a song today by a woman came in to share blues music, and she taught the children of blues music through a diabetic man who hid Oreos everywhere, and she sang this song, and the kids were rolling on the ground with laughter. It was the best.
Nice.
And then my mind just started to, yeah, I appreciate very much. But maybe you guys can continue talking, because it is really hard for me to hear.
Oh, okay. I think we're about done tonight anyway. Okay. We've covered some good territory. Say again?
I'm hoping that I can contribute more. I'm just going to say I'm hoping I can contribute more next time. I just, the only place I can be right now is outside.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
that's okay.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah.
Totally okay.
Yeah. So yeah, why don't we just call it a night tonight? Yeah. And so, do you remember if you want one-on-one sessions, just have to give me a little heads up. This is where I am right now. You just have to be able to book a good time. And yeah, let me just take it from there.